There's a story that's told of a little girl who was making her first confession, and as she was getting toward the end of it, the priest was giving her penance and said, "For your penance, I want you to pray 3 Hail Marys." And she looked at him with shock and horror and began to cry, and he says, "Is something wrong?" She says, "Father, I just know how to pray 1 Hail Mary, not 3 of them." People ask me oftentimes, whether the story is true or not, I don't know, but it kind of illustrates the point. But they ask me, what is it that's best about being a priest? And honestly, it's moments like that that are the best. It's little kids who come with things that are very innocent, and you can just see the deep love that they have. Like if you celebrate a school mass, for example, with children, and the enthusiasm that they have, and they answer back, and how loud they are with the prayers. And then something happens with time. You know, we're all born with the effects of original sin, and when we're kids, we retain that innocence. But then as time goes on, not quite so much, you know. We begin to get somewhat ashamed of our faith. We don't want to answer prayers quite as loudly, if we want to pray at all. And as we all know, our sins get much more interesting, and they get much sinister. Much more sinister. Which kind of leads to, what's the saddest or hardest thing about being a priest? And honestly, it's dealing with apathy. Dealing with apathy. I can sit and argue with a non-believer, but somebody who's at least passionate about something. But when somebody simply doesn't care, what can you do? Not much. And the sad part is, we see so much of that in modern times. People who simply don't care. They've lost faith, they lost hope, and they don't really love anybody except themselves because of that. All I can think is how sad an existence it must be to live with that kind of frame of mind. But that's precisely why we come to this celebration today, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Now, I remember this one time, there's a lady who had passed away, and she herself was very devout. She came from a pretty wealthy family. She married a guy who did very well in the rice industry. When she was dying, you know, all this beautiful stuff that she had didn't mean anything anymore. In fact, she was dying in a rented hospital bed right next to this beautiful, huge wooden bed, carved, expensive wood bed that her husband had bought for him. When she passed away, her family, who had pretty much lost the faith, didn't want a mass, just have a quickie at the funeral home. I was on time, in fact, plenty on time, but she was pacing inside the funeral home wondering where the priest was because, as she told the funeral undertaker, we have people here with places to go and things to do. And once the casket was inside the mausoleum, poof, that was it. They were gone. No prayer, no sincere prayer for the deceased. No love for the deceased. Again, a lack of faith, a lack of hope, a lack of love, apathy. And Jesus asked that question, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? I hope and pray, my brothers and sisters, that we can answer that question by saying yes. That when the Lord returns, he will find faith in us who believe in the power of his name. St. Paul, in the second reading that we heard today, said, "Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, then seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." So this is how God wants us to live, not concerned only about the things that we have at hand in this world, as important and as serious as they might be, but we have to remember that we live for a purpose, and that's where faith kicks in. No, we can't see God, and we cannot scientifically prove that God exists. However, God does send us signs throughout creation, in nature and within us, to show us that he is there and that he is who he says he is. That God is love. And as St. John tells us, those who love abide in God and God abides in them. Faith leads to love. We cannot be a faithless people, but the practice of faith inspires us to love. Why? It takes faith for us to come to Mass and believe that God exists. It takes faith for us to understand that behind every cross there's going to be an empty tomb. It takes faith for us to understand that suffering leads to redemption, that every Good Friday will have an Easter Sunday. Because of that faith, we have hope that we live not just for this world, but that there's something beyond ourselves, something greater than ourselves, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and of course Christ himself, and the eternal life in heaven promised to us by Christ, who suffered and died and rose. And because of this, we love God. And our love for God must be manifest in our love for one another. All these things go together. That's all one complete whole. We have already died. Our life in sin has been destroyed. Why? Because out of his love for us, the Son of God came to be one like us in every way except sin, so that he could take our sins from the beginning of time until the end of every person on his own soul, to suffer, die, but most importantly, to rise again, to break the bond of sin, to break the hold of death, so that you and I could live in the freedom of eternal life. Now, what's one of those signs that I get to see once in a while? Some of you have heard this before. Your body, my body, is going to age. It's going to weaken. It's going to get sick, and it's going to die. That's reality. Our minds are going to fail. I didn't think so 5 years ago. Then I turned 40. It's been downhill ever since, right? That's going to happen. But there's something about the soul. There's something about the soul. Yes, the body has the effect of original sin. The mind's going to have the effect of original sin. But the soul, touched by grace, lives forever and is forever young. How many times do I go to nursing homes to visit with people who have suffered the effects of Alzheimer's? And you see exactly what I just told you. Bodies don't work anymore. The mind doesn't work. No idea who they are, who their family is, or where they are. But yet they'll see me in a Roman collar. They'll see me there to bring them the Eucharist. And what happens? They make the sign of the cross. They begin to mumble a prayer from childhood. That tells me that grace does not fail. God does not fail. Are we going to make mistakes in life? Yes, we will. That's part and parcel of the human condition. But the love of Christ is such that even the worst sin that we could ever commit will never deprive us of his love. He is always calling us back into life with himself, to redemption. All he's asking us to do is to love him in return. He is begging us, pleading us to be first of all a people of prayer, realizing that apart from Christ we can do nothing, but with Christ everything is possible by his grace, by his love, by his power. Secondly, he wants us to be a people of the Eucharist, to be a part of a communion, a body of believers who come together to celebrate the great gift of his resurrection, not just today, but every Sunday, and to fulfill his command that he made at the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, and that person will have eternal life. People of prayer, people of the Eucharist, people of union with God and with one another in love. And finally, to confess our weaknesses, to confess our sins and be assured that just as he gave the apostles the power to forgive sin the night of his resurrection, we still had that power in the church. To hear those words, your sins are forgiven, go in peace, to live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. To live in faith, to live in hope, to live in love, that is to live in the life of the resurrected Lord. The world does not understand this, and the world does not want to understand this, because if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is, and if God does exist, and he most certainly does, then we have no other option than to do exactly what God the Father said when Christ was being baptized in the Jordan, and the words of the Father ring clear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Do as he tells you. Follow his way. Follow his truth. Live his life. And when Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Oh, I know, there are lots of tongues out there that like to wag about Christianity, how horrible Christians are, and say all kinds of terrible things about us. That's been so from the very beginning. It's not going to stop. Then you have these so-called intellectuals who think that they're so intelligent who say, well, Christianity is just a religion like any other, and they borrowed all kinds of different things from other religions, and like every other religion, it's going to have its time in the sun and fade away and die, and something else is going to take its place. You know what? That ain't going to happen. Because in 2,000 years, people have tried to smash us out, destroy us in every way possible, and we're still here, a billion strong, and should be more. If we, the 1 billion, would take our faith and take that hope and take that love and transform ourselves, and in doing so transform the world, we would see 6 billion Christians in this world. But it begins with us. It began with 12, and here we are today, still living as the body of Christ in the world. My brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, and you were, then seek the things that are above, seek the things that are eternal, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not only of what is here on earth. For you have died. You have been purchased and at a price. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Not just sins covered over, but sins forgiven, and you fundamentally changed to be the image of God himself. Truly a son, a daughter of God, truly a brother and sister of Christ. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. This is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia.